It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Marty Vaughn, Vice President of Ministry Affairs at Northland Baptist Bible College in Dunbar, Wisconsin. The title of his message is, What is Most Valuable to You? The text is from the book of Mark, chapter 10.
We're in for a real treat in chapel today. Dr. Marty Vaughn, Vice President of Ministry Affairs at Northland Baptist Bible College, will be our speaker. He's a man whom I've known for a number of years and who I respect very much in the ministry. He loves young people. He's a great counselor and a great preacher and a pretty good fisherman. I've been fishing with him a few times. So we share more than one common interest. He has four boys. His son Stephen is a present student here in our student body. I was surprised to find out he was a political science major at Eastern Michigan University a few years ago. But the Lord saved him and got a hold of his heart and called him into the ministry. He's done a wonderful job all these years working with young people. He's been at Northland since 1984. Dr. Vaughn, you come and deliver what God's laid on your heart.
Open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 10. I have a question for you this morning. What's valuable to you? I just want to visit with you about that a little bit. My wife and I had some visitation cards from our church, and we pulled up to an apartment complex, building 11, where we were to visit. I saw smoke coming out of the upstairs. In fact, the closer I got, the same apartment we were to go to make our visit was where the smoke was coming from. It was summer. I went to the screen door, knocked. I said, "Anybody home? Anybody home?" And I heard a voice. I said, "Your upstairs is on fire. Your building's on fire." I heard the lady scream. And the man came from the kitchen. I opened the door and went in. I said, "Is there anyone upstairs?" The lady said, "My daughter, my daughter." I started up the steps. The husband was a step ahead of me. By the time we got to the top of the stairs, there was about an 8-year-old girl standing there already choking in the smoke. He swept her up in his arms and headed down the stairs. As we were headed down the stairs, I said, "Are there any other children? Or does she have any friends up here? Is there anyone else up here?" He assured me there wasn't. We got to the bottom of the stairs. I said, "Sir, think. We have 3 or 4 minutes to get what is most valuable to you out of your home." I could hear the emergency vehicles, the sirens in the background. Some people had gathered outside the door. I could see when we rounded the bottom of the stairs. And he paused a moment. I said, "Sir, think with me. What is most valuable to you?" Think for a moment. What is most valuable to you? Would it be some treasurous pictures that you have? Some other objects? Maybe a Bible that you said, "I just can't lose"? He turned and he said, "Guess what?" He said to me, "My TV and entertainment unit." I shouted to the guys on the outside, "Guys, get in here. We've got to get his TV and entertainment out of here." He said this is the most valuable thing to him. I couldn't help but as I drove home with my wife from that different type of visitation call, what is most valuable to you, Marty? If your home were on fire, what would you want carried out? You know, if I asked you to take out a sheet of paper and put 15 things down that were most valuable to you, what would go on that list? Values. Think about what values are. Just some thoughts here on values. I think values are beliefs and ideas so important to us that they affect our everyday choices and actions. Regardless of what you think or how much you know, your actions show your values. Your values show you what is most important in your life. Our values are based on desires. Do you realize that everything you read, everything you learn at this university, everything that you see on TV are based on somebody's values? Values are critical to life. I was thinking values reflect what excites us or what disappoints us. For example, I have four sons in my home. As they were growing up, one was a Duke fan. One was a Carolina fan. One was a Michigan fan. And one was whoever was winning that year. This year he tells me he's a Stanford fan. Can you imagine when Duke played Carolina in our home, what went on? Because values excite us. The play involved in values excite us. People involved in values excite us. I see couples on our campus sometimes. I can tell the value connection between them. They do what I call cow-eye each other. Now, if you're from the city, you don't understand what that means. If you're in a country or grew up on a farm, and you've ever been around farm animals, and you've ever looked at a cow's eyes, you've seen how huge they are. Well, I see sometimes couples on our campus doing what I call cow-eyeing. You know, those eyes get like huge and they look and it's like she's saying, "Oh, Homer, I know we can't touch, but if you knew how much I cared for you." And he's saying, "Oh, Gertrude, you don't realize. You don't realize the feelings I have inside." And they start talking marriage. Thinking, what? I said, "Why are you talking marriage already? We can't find anybody else." What? What a way to go. And then we've solved the courting and dating issue. We have dorting. That's a combination of the two. So, you know, you compromise and accommodate everybody that way. New philosophy we've developed. Well, it's based on what? Values excite us or disappoint us. You know, there are values that are absolute. Those absolute values, I believe, are embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul found that true, particularly in Philippians chapter 3. When he says what? "I count everything but rubbish to gain Christ. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing value of what I have found in the person of Jesus Christ." In Mark chapter 10, which I had you open to a few moments ago, I believe I see this chapter as a picture of values, just to give us an idea of a contrast of values. Yes, I know play has values, people have values, politics have values, philosophy has values. But I think Jesus Christ gives us in this chapter a picture of what really some values are all about. And then I want to explore a couple of them with you. In Mark chapter 10, just a quick overview, you're welcome to jot these things down if you wish. But I see the first 12 verses of that chapter as Jesus' declaration of the values of family and marriage. He's asked the question, "Can a man put away his wife?" Jesus' answer was this, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Verse 9. Then I see the next three verses. This is an interesting display here in Mark 10. Verses 13 through 16, Jesus addresses the value of children. And he rebuked his disciples He says, suffer the little children to come unto me, because they were buffeting them to keep them away from them. There was a custom, you know, there was a custom in those days. What? Any great teacher or great respected person, or particularly if the person was a spiritual leader or even assumed spiritual leader, what was the custom? That they wanted that their little children to be near that person so that that person particularly could put his hand on the child's head and give that child an expression of that learned man's blessing. And so that was kind of the custom of that day. A modern day parallel might be to stand in line with your child if you were a father waiting for the signing of a particular celebrity's autograph. Autographs, memorabilia are important today, and it seems like there's values that are attached to that. Now, Dr. Ola and I have a new idea, and we can't pull it off at Northland, but some brilliant person here in the graphic arts department, I'm going to give you an enterprising idea. Run it through Dr. Wood, because he'll help you make it make money. Now, here's the idea Dr. O and I come up with. What if we could have fundamentalist baseball cards? Now, think about it. Just don't laugh. Think about it for a minute. Can you imagine a Dr. Bob III rookie card? How valuable that would be? Or think of a Dr. Wood rookie card. Then you could have action cards. Dr. Wood pulling in a huge striper. Dr. Wood makes par on a golf course, record set. You know, there's others. Mr. Dan Smith goes on date. Action cards. You know, I have all kinds of ideas, folks. Just come and see me afterwards. Dr. Stratton kicks ball in net in last second, makes last second shot, hits ball over roof. I've been with him when he's done that. Now, Dr. Stratton's cards wouldn't be very valuable, but, you know, at least, you know, you have to have some five centers to go in with those $20 ones. So just think of, that's an enterprising idea. Get it ready. Have it ready for Bible conference. You talk about things on the web that you can auction off. That is it. That is it. Well, things are, Jesus was talking about values and children having value. He goes on in verses 17 through 27. He addresses the value of keeping the law and commandments compared to following Christ. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. The man, the scripture says, went away grieved, sorrowful. Isn't that sad? The value of keeping the law compared to following Christ. Verses 28 to 31, the value of leaving all compared to the value of eternal things. Jesus said, there's no man that has left. And then he lists things. But he shall receive an hundredfold, and the world to come, eternal life. Have you in your life ever gone through the experience of the value of leaving all to follow Christ? Verses 32 to 34, he talks about the value of the cross. Jesus said, the Son of Man shall be delivered. They shall condemn him to death. In verses 35 to 45, he talks about, this is important, he talks about the value of position and title versus the value of serving. James and John said, could one of us sit on your right hand and the other on the left? Jesus said, listen, the Gentiles exercise lordship and the other great ones exercise authority. But it should not be this way with you. Whosoever will be great among you, you shall be your minister or servant. Do you want to embrace a value of life? Embrace the value of being a servant, serving. Don't get caught up in positions and titles. Get caught up in serving. And then, of course, he ends the chapter in verses 46 through 52 by talking about the value of spiritual health versus the value of physical wholeness with blind Bartimaeus. And he says to blind Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." This is a chapter of contrasting values. Let me ask you this morning, what values do you embrace? I think Jesus used this chapter as one of many statements that he would make that would show what he valued. And I think this contrast is so valuable to us. Because Jesus shows us what? That our values and the values of normal people aren't his values. And so I want to address what I believe are some enduring values. These are values that I have found in my life that have made my life richer and my walk with Jesus Christ more meaningful. I call them the enduring values of life. I'm going to give you a short definition. I'm going to give you a quick biblical tour, and then I'm going to give you a practical application to these values. Value number one, enduring value number one is the enduring value of joy. Its meaning simply is having mirth, gladness, or happiness. Now we know that happiness is not the end of man. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. But there is something about being a joyful person. Research, and you can never trust what research does because you don't know who does the research, but research says in this case, compared to adults, how many times, for example, do you suppose adults smile during the course of a day? Research says 15 times. How many times do you suppose a little child smiles during a day? Research says 400 times. Can you imagine? There's something different about a person with joy. What does the Scripture say about joy? We could start in Nehemiah 18. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We could go to Psalm 16:11. In His presence is fullness of joy. We could go to Psalm 51:12. What happens with a clean heart? There's a joy, and sinners can be converted because of Christ in me. We could go to the New Testament and find out in John 15:11 that Jesus said, "I have come." Why? That you could be full of joy. The same thing is recorded in 1 John chapter 1 where he says, "These things I write unto you that your joy may be full." Do you realize in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was ushered into this world in joy? "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great," what? "Joy. Unto you a Savior is born, a Son is given." Jesus Christ was ushered into this world in joy. Joy is an enduring value of life. Now let me ask a question. Do you have joy this morning? If I were to check with your roommates, or I were to check with the administration, I were to say, "I have a special prize to give. Can you tell me the student at BJU that is the most joyful student that you know?" Dr. Wood gets the men together back there and they come up to me and they say, "Dr. Vaughn, this is an impossibility." I said, "What do you mean it's an impossibility?" They say, "Every student at Bob Jones University is so filled with joy that we can begin to tell you who's the most joyful." Is that what they could say about you? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. Are you a joyful person today? Or are you a complaining person today? Some people are always moody. They're always negative. They're always complaining. I gave our students a week challenge. I said, "Let's see who can keep from murmuring for a whole week." I talked to one student. They said, "I blew it before I got out of chapel." Are you a murmurer or a complainer? Or do you embrace the enduring value of joy in your life? I was reading through the scripture. I came to Numbers chapter 11. I mean, God just stopped me at Numbers chapter 11. Do you realize what it says there? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And His anger was kindled. I thought, wow. In fact, I wrote in my journal, what ticks God off? My complaining. Don't complain. And then it says, no, it doesn't end there. It says, the fire of the Lord came and consumed them, literally evaporated them. Wouldn't it be something if every time somebody complained, they just disappeared? People come in and say, what happened to our student body? They were complaining. Just disappeared. Well, sometimes you'd like to make people disappear that complain, wouldn't you? Hey, look, this Christian life is to be a life of joy. Secretaries come in all in a frizz. Dr. Bond, you've got so many things to do. I said, hey, think about it. If Jesus Christ comes in the next 5 minutes, it's not going to make any difference. You have tasks. You have plans. You have dreams. You have ambitions. But are you joyful because He could come before this chapel's over? Be a person of joy. Embrace the enduring value of joy. Second enduring value of life. Love. Love is an enduring value of life. Now, in the Old Testament, it's interesting to note that love, for the most part, is attached to one phrase. Love the Lord thy God. In fact, if you do a survey of love throughout the Old Testament, you will see overwhelming domination by that phrase. Love is attached to the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. Why? Because its meaning is giving. It's always an action word. You could go to the New Testament, and it's always like in a mood that indicates an action. Because love is an enduring value of action for life. I can recall my first experience with love when somebody said on a grade school, you know, yard, you had these little daisies or whatever they were. I can't remember what they are. You pull petals from them. She loves me not, because they would say, hey, that girl over there, she likes you, Marty. I said, ooh, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know if I want her to like me. Some people you don't, you know, want to like you. You know, the country song, Thank God for Answered Prayer. You know, this guy goes back to his high school and he sees this girl he was in love with in high school. And he says, thank God for answered prayer. I didn't get her, you know. Well, not that I listen to country, but Dr. Wood and I just were talking about the top 10, and so I was reminding him of that. Well, I better not go there. Let's do this. Let's talk about she loves me, she loves me not. And so you could figure it out. You got down to the last petal, you know. Hey, if you didn't want the girl to like you, you know, about five left, you could pull two, and it would always come out right. Who you wanted to love. And you know why that is? That is because we choose who we want to love and what we want to love. We choose who we want to love and what we want to love. Think about this in the New Testament. Love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's the first and greatest commandment. Think about it this way. A new commandment I give unto you, to love one another. It's the first and great commandment. It's the new commandment. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and an unfeigned faith. It's the first and greatest command. It's the new command. It's the end of the command. It's all wrapped around the enduring value of love. Let me ask you this. Do you genuinely love God? Someone told you this morning already they loved you, other than mom and dad? How many of you in here, somebody has told you they loved you this morning? Put your hand up. Wow.
That's great. Every hand should be up. Did you ever tell your roommates you love them? Say, you don't know my roommate. Well, do you ever tell those that are teaching you, you ever write them a note and just express love? You know, I love and appreciate you. I went up to one of our tall basketball players, put my arm around his waist. That's where it fit. And he was walking down the hall. I went up, put my arm around his waist. I said, Jason. He said, yeah, Dr. Vaughn. I said, Jason, has anybody told you today they loved you? He looked down like, you know, this is weird. No. He said, well, no, Dr. Vaughn, I haven't. I said, Jason, I want you to know I'm glad that you're a student here and I love you. He said, thanks. Thanks, Dr. Vaughn. I appreciate that. Do you know how little it costs to say to someone, I love you? Isn't that an enduring value of life? Joy, love, courage. Courage is an enduring value of life. Interestingly enough, that word is not found very often in the Old Testament. But it's found in the context of be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Paul was known as a person of courage. He said, I don't count my life dear to myself. He was ready to sail for Rome. He said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. Why? Because he had courage in God Almighty. I think courage is one of the greatest character traits that a young person can adopt. You know why? Because it takes courage to say no to things. You know where courage came in the Old Testament? Courage in the Scripture. Listen, courage in the Scripture comes from a picture of confidence. A person who has confidence in the provisions, the promises, and the power of God is a person of courage. Think about it. Courage is confidence. Confidence in what? God's power, God's promises, God's protection. Do you have courage because you have confidence? Let me tell you where else courage comes from, though. Courage comes from having a good conscience. It not only comes from confidence, it comes from conscience. Paul had a conscience void of offense before God and men. He didn't have to live looking back over his shoulder. Did I do something wrong that I haven't made right? Sometimes I've had students come and say, Dr. Vaughn, I did this. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I have to make this right. I need to make this right with the administration. I said, why did you do it? Well, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it was to go by the rule. Listen, if you have courage in your life as an enduring value, you have to have a confidence. You have to have a conscience that's clean. Because a clean, confident person can be a courageous person. You need to be a person of courage. And honesty is another enduring value of life. Honesty is an enduring value of life. Being straight, direct. Noah was a man of honesty. The Scripture says in Romans 12:17, provide things honest before God and man. Are you a person of integrity? Can you be counted on as being an honest person? I'm going to ask you to stand together as we close. A.W. Tozier, in his Rules of Self-Discovery, said this. There are seven areas that review our true values. He said, what we want the most, what we think about most, how we use our money, the friends we enjoy, who and what we admire, and what we laugh at. These are rules that show what you value. Friends, I hope today that you would embrace enduring values of life. Joy, love, courage, honesty, and I didn't address it, but faith, what you believe and how you live it.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for these students this morning. Thank you for the joy of being here. Father, I pray that you will use these thoughts to confront us and challenge us about our values. May students here place you in a valuable place, a rightful place in their lives. Guide and direct them. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Marty Vaughn, Vice President of Ministry Affairs at Northland Baptist Bible College in Dunbar, Wisconsin. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.